ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवदीनिष्ठिके। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट 24। शौचम् तपस् तितिक्षाम् च मौनम् साध्यायम् आर्जवम् ब्रह्मचर्यम् अहिंसाम् च समत्वम् द्वन्द्वसंयमः। शौचम् तपस् तितिक्षम् च मौनम् साध्यायमार्जवम् ब्रह्मचर्यम् अहिंसाम् च समत्वम् द्वन्द्वसंजयो। शौचम् तपस् तितिक्षम् च मौनम् साध्यायमार्जवम् ब्रह्मचर्यम् अहिंसाम् च समत्वं द्वन्द्वसंज्ञया। शौचं तव स्थितिक्षां च मौनं साध्यायमार्जवम् ब्रह्मचर्यम् अहिंसां च समत्वं द्वन्द्वसंज्ञया। मौनम् साध्यायमार्जवम् ब्रह्मचर्यमहिंसाम् च समत्वम् द्वन्द्वसंजयो। शौचम् तपस्तितिक्षाम् च मौनम् साध्यायमार्जवम् ब्रह्मचर्यमहिंसाम् च समत्वं द्वन्द्वसंजय। मताजिस् शौचं तपस्तितिक्षां च शौचम् क्लीनलीनेस् तप हॉस्टिलिटी तितिक्षां टॉलरेंस च एंड मौनम् साइलेंस स्वाध्यायम् स्टडी ऑफ द वेदास आर्जवम् सिंप्लिसिटी ब्रह्मचर्यम् सेलिबसी अहिंसां नॉन वायलेंस च एंड समत्वम् इक्वानिमिटी Danda Samyayo in situations perceived in terms of duality. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: to serve the spiritual master, the disciple should learn cleanliness, austerity, tolerance, silence, study of the Vedic knowledge, simplicity, celibacy, non-violence and equanimity in the face of material dualities such as heat and cold, happiness and distress. Purport: Shaucham or cleanliness refers to both internal and external purity. One should remain externally clean by bathing with soap and water at least once, and if possible 3 times daily. One is considered internally pure when he is free from the pollution of false pride and egotism. Tapa or austerity means that despite the irrational impulses of the mind, one should remain fixed in executing his proper duty in life. Specifically, one must control burning anger and urge for wanton sex life. If a human being does not control the impulses of lust, anger and greed, he loses his power to understand his actual situation. Human life is a golden opportunity to solve the overwhelming problems of birth, death, old age and disease. According to Vishnu Purana, Varna ashrama charavat purushena parapuman Vishnu raradhyadhe pantha nanyatat toshakaranam. Every human being can achieve spiritual perfection by dedicating the fruits of his prescribed work to Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, 45th verse, Lord Krishna clearly states, Sve sve karmani apirataha samsittim labhade nara. One does not have to adopt a monastic life or live in the forest as a yogi. One can achieve perfection by dedicating his occupational duties to the Supreme Lord. Similarly, Bhaktivinod Thakur has said, Namasraya kari yatane tumi takaha apane kaja. If one sincerely takes shelter of the holy names of Lord Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, he will achieve spiritual perfection within the compass of his normal daily activities. Unfortunately, if a human being neglects the regulative principles of civilized life that prohibit illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication and gambling, he will surely be overwhelmed by the waves of lust and anger, which completely covers one's consciousness of the reality of spiritual life and draw one to engage in the phantasmagoria of the temporary material body. As Lord Krishna has stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, 39th verse, Avridam jnanametena jnanino nityavairina kamarupena kaunteya dushpurena analena cha. Thus, a man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. Therefore, the word tapa or austerity in this verse indicates that one must remain in this prescribed duty, not become impatient or unregulated due to the waves of lust, anger and greed. The word titiksham or tolerance indicates that a transcendentalist must be forgiving. The material world is full of embarrassing and irritating situations, and unless one is inclined to be very much forgiving, he will become infected by a vindictive mentality, which spoils one's spiritual consciousness. Maunam or silence means that one should not speak on worthless or frivolous topics, but should discuss the actual issues of human life, such as going back to home, back to Godhead. Remaining completely silent is a symptom of ignorance. A stone is silent due to lack of consciousness. Since every material thing has its spiritual counterpart, the Vedic Shastras contain negative and positive injunctions. Corresponding to the negative injunctions against speech is the positive injunction that one should always speak about Krishna. Satatam kirtayantoma. One should always speak about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, glorifying His holy name, fame, pastimes, entourage and so on. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also it is stated, Srotavya kirtidavyascha dheya pujyastha nityada. One should always hear about, glorify, meditate upon and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. In the 21st verse of this chapter it is stated, Shabde pare cha nishnatam. The bona fide spiritual master is expert in Shabda pare or transcendental sound vibration describing the spiritual world. One cannot artificially remain empty-headed or speechless as advocated by the foolish proponents of concocted systems of meditation and yoga. But one should be so absorbed in the loving service of Krishna and so lovingly attracted to praising Krishna that one has not a single moment free to speak nonsense. That is the purport of the word maunam. So it's a big purport. So tomorrow they will continue the purport from here on. ഭൂതം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജന ശലാകയാ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ. ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപ കദാ മഹ്യം തഥാതി സ്വപതാന്തികം. വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപാം സാഗ്രജാതാം സഹഗണ രഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപാദാം സഹഗണ ലളിത ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച. ഹേ കൃഷ്ണ കരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗത്പതേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപിക കാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ. തപ്ത കാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗി രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനു സുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ. വാഞ്ഛാകൽപ്പതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ. നമാം വിഷ്ണുപാദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേഷ്ടായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമീൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ. നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദീ പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ. ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധ ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. So to serve the spiritual master, the disciple should learn cleanliness, austerity, tolerance, silence, study of the Vedic knowledge, simplicity, celibacy, non-violence and equanimity in the face of material dualities such as heat and cold, happiness and distress. So today we will be discussing the first two four qualities, like cleanliness, austerity, tolerance and silence. So here the context is King Nimi is asking the Navayogendras the various questions, and in this Sri Prabhudha is answering this part of the questions. So we have four topics today, like cleanliness, then austerity, then tolerance and silence. And today is also the incorporation day of ISKCON, 18 July. 51 years back Prabhupada done it in New York. So we'll try to see, means first we'll try to see what are these qualities, what we can learn from this. And also we'll try to see, means how Srila Prabhupada exhibited these qualities during that initial periods when he was trying to establish it. So cleanliness and austerity and tolerance, okay, we can say that is somewhat connected also, means like, and basically this cleanliness, austerity, and this is also the first chapter, first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that tapas shaucham daya satyam, these four principles are the iti pada krite krita, means in the satyuga these were the four pillars or the four legs in which the religion was standing, the shaucham, tapa. So and then it says that adharmas amses trayo bhagna, means due to the development of irreligion, these three legs got broken. And that is due to Samya, Sangha and Madhes. Samya means pride and Sangha means illicit activity, illicit sex and other type of activities. And Madhes means intoxication. And in this Kali Yuga only one thing is left is the truthfulness. So we know that it is already very difficult for us to keep clean things, shaucham, when it comes. It is explained in the Shastras that is a cleanness is a Brahmanical activity, and it is a, and especially for those who are practitioners of spiritual things, we need to have that cleanness aspect. So basically somebody comes to the temple for the first time, and when they get training in the basic things of Krishna conscious life, maybe in India it may be very normal, but Prabhupada when he started, he has to start from telling, taking bath early in the morning, means from there it starts for them. And Prabhupada always used to tell that, you know, our temple should be revolutionarily clean. You know, many times Maharaj used to tell us, means it should be not spotlessly revolutionarily clean, means it is also an actually a preaching activity. Means many times we hear that, you know, people get attracted to the temple because of the cleanliness what is maintained in the temple, means many times we can see that. So in going into detail, cleanliness has two aspects. One is the purport is to explain that one is internal cleaning and another is external cleaning. So external cleaning can be achieved by taking bath for a personal, because the body, our own body is actually a Krishna's temple, means. So Paramatma is residing, is not our property. So we have to keep it ourselves, it is clean, means it's our responsibility. Means. And many of you have, you know, coming from the background of a hostel life, we know, means, you know, in the hostel life the cleanliness is, you know, you can see the other extreme of the cleanliness, means. Many times I used to see that some fellow mates, hostel mates, they just come and take some shampoo and just rinse their hair, you know, in the head, put some water and then go to the classrooms, means. You know, they only make, many times they take only bath in the weekends. So that is the case in India where we are born and brought up with so much of cultural things. Then what to speak of the other part of the world. And in fact, in one of the lectures, Maharaj was explaining that because people doesn't want to take bath, that's why they invented all these perfumes and colognes and all those things, means. And especially he told that France is famous for this. And then the French perfumes are so famous that. And it's also that is about the personal cleanliness. And another is our extended surroundings. So if you don't keep our extended surrounding also clean, you know, so it affects our consciousness. Basically, whatever we are associating with, that way our consciousness also will get molded. So in one of the lectures, Radhana Swami was explaining that, you know, when somebody comes to the temple, if they see the temple is completely in a messy condition, so they will think that, you know, we are speaking about the internal cleanliness, internal purity and everything. If they can't keep the temple clean, what can they do for their own internal things? So it shows to a certain degree that a person is not able to keep his surroundings clean, so his consciousness level also get affected with that. So especially he many times stressed in the Brahmacharya class, especially he heard the importance of keeping the Brahmacharya ashram very clean. Because otherwise, people doesn't feel that it belongs to a home. Generally, where you feel that homeliness, when something is clean and neat. So in early days, Maharaj was seeing that ashram was so unclean, and nobody was even coming forward and doing that clean, to any effort to do the cleaning. Then he himself picked up a broom and started cleaning it. And then the devotees were stopping him. Maharaj, don't do it. But still he was doing, but nobody bothered to take up another broom and help him in that. So he was telling it later on, that I was just waiting who will come forward and do the cleaning. Then he gave a heavy class that if you are not keeping your premises clean, then you will always, you know, remember of your home. Because in home, mother is there, she always keep the home clean. So you will never be satisfied to stay, continue in the ashram, especially. So it is also a good opportunity for us to do the preaching. Means, if we keep the temple, many times personally I got opportunity to do that service, and Maharaj used to tell, means nothing should be kept here and there. Means everything should have its own place in the temple. You know, that orderliness, that is a discipline. And discipline that comes by practice. Means you have to practice it. And for internal cleaning, means Saturday Vrajvari Prabhu was giving a detailed process for internal cleaning. The only solution is chanting and hearing. So internal cleaning is also part of anartha nivritti. So the only process, we have the 9 process of bhakti. So in that, most effective is we have been given, facilitated that every day. Nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya, means all anarthas or inauspicious things in the heart, means for many, many lifetimes, we don't know when it begins. Means Chili Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that, why we cannot collect where we started this material life. He gives the logic that in the spiritual world, there is only one condition for time. It is always present. There is no future. There is no past. The total condition in which the time operates is in a different condition over there. But when it comes to the material world, we have this past, present and the future. So he says that because the condition, the time operates in a different platform over there, so no matter whatever you try, the data is, even if it is there, it cannot be recovered by the present conditions of the time, where time operates in a different modes altogether. Means it's like trying to operate an Android app in an Apple or something like that. Means that the condition is totally different where this happens. So from anadi karma phale, means we have from time immemorial, we have these various desires we are having, and the desires are pushing us to do various activities. So unless and until we take to the seriousness the process of bhakti, so the desires will keep bothering us. And also we have been given especially those who are staying in the temple, we got the opportunity of attending possibly all the 6 aratis, and especially Gaur arati and Rajbhog arati, where kirtan is also performed. So hearing, then even also some devotees have got the fortune of having Gayatri mantra. See, all those things are for the internal purifications for us. And the next is tapa, the austerity. So austerity can be maybe we can say that if you say in one line, what is austerity for us is anukulasya sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam. Means whatever is favorable for us, we have to accept it, whether we like it or not. Means once we were having the Brahmachari retreat, so Baldev Prabhu was explaining that actually what is our liking or what is our nature? Our nature is actually an extension of our conditioning only, because of which we are in this material world. So many times we get carried away with that likings or the nature. So the austerity is the part where we can purify that aspect. That whether it is for our liking or whether we accept it or not, certain things has to be followed, whether if it is help us in the Krishna consciousness, advancing in Krishna consciousness. So once Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and one of his disciples, Bahulashra Prabhu, was also there with him. He was accompanying him. So both of them were doing Gayatri, sitting and doing Gayatri, and Prabhupada finished and he got up and walked off. Then he got a little late, so he also finished and he ran behind Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada saw that he was not using his, he forgot his chappal. Means Bahulashra forgot his chappal, and Prabhupada asked him, "Where is your shoes?" Then he replied, "Prabhupada, I am a soul. There is no suffering for the soul." Means he was the wrong person. He gave the answer. So Prabhupada told, "There is enough suffering in this material world. You don't need to add to anything to that. Means just follow what I am telling." Means, and we keep on hearing that what are the austerities undergone by various devotees. Means Sunday was the Brahmotsav of Radha Gobindaji, and many devotees shared that whatever the initial conditions, what are the initial austerities devotees has to perform. Many times, like right now we have everything, facilities are here, so we may not be able to realize what the initial conditions in which the temples or the devotees practiced it. And especially the Soviet devotees, you know, their dedication to Srila Prabhupada was such that they were able to take up that much austerities. Means, you know, we can't even think about what all they went for that. And in one of the lecture, Maharaj explains actually means that the real austerities means Trinathapi Sunischena, Tarorapi Sahishnuna, Amanina, Manadena, Kirtiniya Sadahari. That is, which is the toughest part for us to do it. Means giving up the false ego and pride. Is in the purport, you know, Hridayanand Maharaj is quoting that avridam jnana metena jnanino nitya vairina kama rupena kaunteya dushpurena analena cha. So it's very difficult for us to give up that. He says if you don't have that ability to have that, do that austerities, you know, if you are not used to it, these waves of lust, greed, pride, everything will come again and again. It will bombard you with that. So, and it is very interesting to note that you know, Krishna is also using very specific words here. Means avridam jnana metena jnanino nitya vairina. Means so the lust. So generally kama, we loosely we test as lust means, but it's also actually it's desires, we can see that lust. So the kama rupena kaunteya dushpurena analena cha. So this kama is described as the vairi means. But specifically he says here nitya vairi for jnanis, jnanina. Nitya jnanino nitya vairina. So you may be wondering why for others it is not a vairi means. Because an ignorant person, he is always in a dreamy situation means. He is behind, he is trying to fulfill the desires. You know, unless and until he reaches a certain stage, he is always thinking that my desires will make me happy. But a jnani knows that if I try to fulfill, the jnani means those who understand the philosophical aspect of our this existence. They say that whatever in this material world, the end result is always painful only. So if you are behind the lust, this kama, so you will end up with only means unhappiness or trouble. So that's why it is known as, it is given as nitya vairina for the jnani. But for an ignorant person, initially it may be very pleasurable things means for him. But jnani always remembers that, you know, I cannot follow my, whatever is the kama is there inside. And another is dushpurena and analena cha. So dushpurena means, it's very difficult to, it's never get satisfied. Means very difficult to get them satisfied. And even analena is also something similar to that only means. One of the acharyas gives that anala means why Krishna is using here the word anala, fire. So he says alam. Alam means sufficient or satisfied. And anala means fire is never satisfied. That's why specifically he is using the word anala here. Dushpurena analena cha. So Baladeva Vidya Bhushan explains that this dushpurena means like by practicing our all these sense gratificatory measures, we are, it's just like we are trying to put a dike or dam or check dam to control the flow of water in a river or something like that. So you may be able to do that. So the moment there is small crack or something, you know the power of water means. Those who are, you know, dealt with that, they know that even a small hole. Recently we had in a farm, we had a tank, 6 tanks of 10,000 liters capacity means. So in one of the tanks there was a small leak, small hole. So we thought, okay, it's not my major thing. They put some M seal or something to plug that leak. But slowly, when we were in the Sringeri Yatra, just after coming back in the second day or something, the entire tank collapsed, means it's break apart. So that is the power of water. As those who are coming from the engineering background, they know that what is water hammer effect and all those things. You know, we can't underestimate the power of water in that way. Similarly, he is saying these cautions that these desires, even though you may be putting various mechanical ways or, you know, things to control the desires, if you are not careful, you know, even a slightest chance it get, it can break apart and come back to its full thing. So he says something like in a, Vishwanathakri Thakur explains, give the example like a, in a summer season, you can see the land may be like in a, so fully barren. It's look like there is nothing, no growth is there. But the moment the first rainfall falls, the entire thing will be on green carpet. So that is a case with the desires also like that. So even if you give a slightest, even a one chance, you may be thinking that only once I will try to fulfill this desire and then finish it off. But the nature of desire is that one desire will create thousands of, it's like one fruit. Like you know, one fruit of a Ashwatha tree means it contains so many thousands of seeds. We don't know means how it will go and affect us in the future. So the Acharya says that till we are in this material world, we have to be very aware of this, the danger of Nitya Vairina or the Kama. So then next quality is that forgiveness. So generally we don't have control over our the situations, what all we are going through it. But we have always a control on what response we can give. So generally people think that the forgiveness, when we say that forgive and forgiveness, we see that we are doing some favor to the other party. So actually Maharaj in one of his, I think it's a Prerana lecture, Art of Forgiveness. So he is explaining, actually it is, you are not doing favor to anyone. You are doing a favor to yourself. Means forgiveness is comparing like, that you know, if somebody is hurting you or you the longer you keep your resentness or the hatredness with your heart, it is going to spoil your own heart, not anybody else. It's like holding on to, see, you wanted to throw some, see, give the example of red hot coal. So you wanted to throw it to the person who, like, you know, offended or means hurt you. But the longer you keep it with you means who is going to get hurt? Yourself only means. So forgiveness, it affects us. So that's why Krishna says that Matra Sparshastu Kaundeya Sridoshna Sukha Dukkata Agama Payano Nityas Tam Titikshastu Bharata. We don't have any choice means. You know. So we can't also imitate means. You know, like, you know, one of the Acharyas give the example, like, you know, why Krishna, even though he's saying that Matra Sparshastu Kavundoya Sita Ushna. And Sita and Ushna means maybe vary for people. Means somebody may like Sita, winter. He may, I am very comfortable tolerating the winter. For him, that may be a sense gratification, so you can't take it. For somebody, it may be like summer, so it may not be a big problem for him. That's why he says, then he compares it to distress and happiness, which is more actually qualitatively we can define that what we need to tolerate. I mean, whether it is happiness or distress, we have to tolerate it. There is no other option for that. And it's not that, not only that, these grudges we keep it in our within our own heart. So it not only affect our emotions, it affect our health and even relationship with others means. So in one of the classes, Ratana Swami Maharaj explains that actually the relationship, so if you don't have the forgiveness, means forgiveness is actually the basis of a relationship. And a relationship in bhakti is not a detail. So he says it is a foundational principle means. Without having relationship with the devotees, you will not be able to do bhakti means. Without a sangha, otherwise you will have some other sangha means of the devotees. So many times we have this notion that when you are forgiving, you know, forgiveness means the other party is correct. It's nothing like that means, you know. So it's not the question of who is correct or who is wrong, but it is for our own benefit that we have to forgive, that we have to cultivate the habit of forgiveness. So in once one devotee was explaining, he had an issue with some other devotee, and he went to Satsuru Maharaj and asked him, Maharaj, means, what should I do means with such situations? So told him, you go and ask forgiveness from him. So the devotee, you know, even though he was fully convinced that I am right, he went and asked forgiveness from that other devotee. But the other devotee just walked away from there, mean, even without even doing any gesture, not even speaking, no body language also, means not even acknowledging that he is begging forgiveness. So then very with much of enthusiasm he gone back to Satsuru Maharaj and told, "See Maharaj, I told you that, you know, that devotee is not at all inclined for any compromise. You know, he just stepped like that. You know, there is no point in doing this forgiveness business." So then he told, "Who told you?" Means it doesn't work. You beg forgiveness, Krishna has seen that you beg forgiveness from him. It is not we are doing that forgiveness for the other party, but for ourselves. The Krishna is watching us, or our spiritual master, they know that what we are doing there. So Mahatma Gandhi also says that, you know, the forgiveness, it's for a weak person, a weak cannot forgive, and it is an attribute of a strong person. Those who have a strong will, they can only forgive it. And the fourth quality is maunam. And very often we hear the maunam, the silent maunavrit, and all those things Prabhupada keep on bashing in his lectures. Actually, what is maunam means? We are restraining ourselves from all the frivolous talks. Means nowadays we can even extend to that to our all the social media, internet and everything. We're spending time is actually doing nonsense, like it's a gossiping activity only. Means. So we will see today is also the incorporation day of ISKCON. So we also try to see how Prabhupada also exhibited these qualities. Like, you know, these qualities are important for one to serve the spiritual master. So how he imbibed and shown us that how we can also imbibe these qualities. Right. So in 1875, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, as predicted, that soon a personality will appear to preach the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and move unrestrictedly over the whole world with this message. So you can note that, you know, this was in 1975. That time there was no aeroplane. The concept, maybe some people were doing R&D on that. But he was predicting that a person will soon, you know, will be going around the world. And then in 1885, in Sajjana Toshini, he wrote, "Very soon the unparalleled path of Harinam Sankirtan will be propagated all over the world. When will that day come where English, French, German and Americans, Russians take up banners, mridangas and kartals and take Kirtana throughout their streets?" Even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that in the entire world this Harinam Sankirtan will be spread, and till Prabhupada took up this mission, everybody was thinking that, you know, it is just a, like a figurative statement. You know, for the poetry, people say that, you know, it was considered like that. But you can see that the pure devotees like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they were planting the seed. Means actually in 1896, the birth year of Prabhupada, the same year Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent us that teachings of the precepts of Lord Chaitanya, means teaching and precepts of Lord Chaitanya to the Western world. So we will not be going into the details. You know, Prabhupada initially met Bhaktisandhu Thakur and other things. We will discuss some few incidences from Prabhupada's life. Like in 1951, at the age of 55, Prabhupada decided to take to Vanaprastha Ashram. Means, so till that time, he had this strong desire to execute his spiritual master's order that, you know, this message has to be given to the English-speaking crowd or the countries like that. That a strong desire was there. He was trying his best in whatever situation he was living. So in 1951, he went to Vrindavan, and then eventually he went to, like, you know, Jhansi to start that League of Devotees. And after there was a, like, you know, initially it looked like success. But then there was a setback that the governor's wife wanted to have the same building where Prabhupada was somewhere continuing his programs. And then he went to try to convince even Keshavji Maharaj, Bhakti Prajna Keshav Maharaj, that he was also looking for some place to start his mutt. You know, why don't you come to Jhansi, we can start. He explained the prospects of having it there, and already the building is available. So when both of them came back to Jhansi, so they understood the situation is not much favorable. The governor's wife was trying to do all the means, like, you know, pushing through the collectors and legal and other corners that this building has to be vacated. Finally, the landlord, even though some of the Prabhupada acquaintance, some legal experts were advising him that, you know, you have a strong case, you can fight it. But then Prabhupada was thinking, I left everything I had not to become entangled in a litigation. Why should I fight it? Means then he gave up that and he went back to Mathura to join Bhakti Prajna Keshava Maharaj. So he was staying in that. So means already Bhakti Prajna Keshava Maharaj has given him the invitation that you can join us and edit the Bhagavat, no, Gaudiya Patrika. So he went back there and then he was trying to do whatever is there. He was staying in the mutt there. And then Bhakti Sarang Maharaj, another disciple, godbrother of Prabhupada. So he had an ashram in Gaudiya Sangha in Delhi. So where he used to publish this harmonist in Hindi, the Sajjana Toshani. So he also wanted the help of Prabhupada. He requested Prabhupada to, because everybody in the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur disciple circuit, they know that Prabhupada was an established preacher and a writer and a scholarly person. Means, so everybody wanted his association. Actually, in fact, in Prabhupada's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur time itself, some of his senior disciples suggested that we should invite Abhay Babu that time, means to Abhay Charan to stay in the ashram. So that time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told, you don't need to invite him, like, you know, he don't need to stay in the ashram. Wherever he is there, when the time comes, he will do whatever is needed. So better he live outside your company. That's what the statement Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur told. Yeah. It's okay. So then finally Prabhupada have a discussion with Bhakti Prajna Keshava Maharaj and Bhakti Sarang Maharaj, that he agreed that he will go to Delhi, move to Delhi, and he will do the editing of harmonist Sajjana Toshni and as well as Gaudiya Patrika of Keshava Maharaj. So then the Bhakti Sarang Maharaj assistant wrote to Prabhupada how to come to Delhi. If you read, this is in that the 8th chapter of Leelamrit, you know, crying in the wilderness, means like that. He is telling how to come in a least cost route, means take a train from Mathura to New Delhi and then don't take Tanga outside the station. It will be costly. You walk some 100-200 meters from there and take a left and take a Tanga, if possible try to share it, you know. So we can relate many times these things, means when we also ask to do certain times go to some places, how do we can reflect it. I am reflecting on myself, you know, that it's not necessary everybody has to have the same thing. I am speaking from my understanding that. So Sachana Acharya means future, he is supposed, like, you know, he has shown it, but still he was doing all those things. It's not a senior person is telling him to do, in a normal secretary type of person is telling him to do these things. So he took the Tanga and reached the Delhi Gaudiya Sangha. And there, to his astonishment, he saw that, you know, it was not a proper setting. Means all the brahmacharis were, like, you know, fighting with each other for their own facilities. Nobody is bothered to go out for preaching. You know, it was in a complete chaos thing. You know, he found out that a bunch of quarreling devotees were there. So then he wrote to Bhakti Sarang Maharaj, means this is the situation, is I am not possible to do my concentrate on my editorial work here. Then Bhakti Sarang Maharaj wrote back, okay, I am telling my assistant to give my office, my room key. That also you can only for using the editorial work. You know, other time you be with the brahmacharis, and also if possible you try to do some management so that you can put things in order there. And many of the brahmacharis become very rebellious against Prabhupada when he started doing it. So this is, he is doing along with his editorial work. And in addition to that, he was trying to preach. So he went out, because there Bhakti Sarang Maharaj used to print only 500 copies of that magazine. So Prabhupada went out. So he had that desire, strong desire to preach, means his guru's mission. He was not concerned who is getting the credit or who is actually, somehow he wanted to do it. So he went out and find out a sponsor, forget the paper. He wanted to make it 1,000 copies. And he convinced the printer that you do it in the same 500 copies price, do it 1,000 copies. So then, but when he wrote to Bhakti Sarang Maharaj, he just replied in one line, just do only 500. Even though Prabhupada was explaining, everything is taken care, no financial burden on the mutt. Still, he got the reply that just do 500. And another time, because he was in Delhi, he was trying to preach to the Hindi speaking people over there. So he wanted to, he understood without having a proper books, it is very difficult to preach. Means literature is an integral part of that preaching mission. And that is one of the major contribution Prabhupada has given. Means Hridayananda Maharaj is once, in his one of the offering, he says that the one of the most important contribution Prabhupada has, sacrifice Prabhupada has done to us is that he has given his, you know, the books. Like in generally, if you see the many institutions, even the philosophy itself become very deviated over a period of time because there is no clarity. But Prabhupada, through his typical style of repeatedly saying the same fundamental principles of philosophy, that we are not the body, we are the soul, we have to do only the serving Lord, by that only we can get happiness, repeatedly saying over the so many books. So he has given us a concrete philosophy which at least there is no doubt or there is no confusion in this regard. The basic philosophy is very clear for us. So he wanted to write Chaitanya Charitamrita in Hindi. Even though he was not so good in Hindi, because he was good in writing, so till that time he was writing in English and Bengali. But, like, you know, tadvag visargo means that mood, but whatever is possible I should do it, whether. So he wanted to write Chaitanya Charitamrita and he asked Bhakti Sarang Maharaj, can you give me a loan of 600 rupees? You know, I will pay you back, just give me a loan of 600 rupees that I will print this first volume and then with that I will rotate and I will give you back that money also. And I will do this along with whatever your services you are given. And even that time Prabhupada even didn't have the proper clothing. Means his dhotis, he is right, only he had two dhotis and it is were also torn out and in a very bad shape. And even for that he has to take permission. So in fact he write a letter to Bhakti Sarang Maharaj for that also. He was in Calcutta that time. You know, even I don't have a proper cloth. If you give me permission, I can buy two dhotis for myself. Means it is not for his person, like in a personal sense, for his, it was for basically for preaching purposes. He used to cultivate even some high class society people also that time. So eventually, the secretary of Bhakti Sarang Maharaj, Ramanand Rai Prabhu, means he sends a letter. So even Prabhupada asked him, you know, can I get a typewriter? And so it's become very difficult to write and again go back to the printer and do. So the Ramanand Rai wrote back, the matters are distinctly written, there is no necessity of them being given to the printer in typewriting. So even the typewriter was, you know, not given, not allowed for Prabhupada that time. Yes. So finally he gets a letter from Calcutta, you know, fully flowery praises of him and eventually saying that you have been sacked. In our modern terminology, we, in a corporate world, you can say that. So they suggest that better, why don't you go to Vrindavan and be with Bhakti Prajna Keshava Maharaj, who can give you much, he need more assistance. Actually there was no request from Bhakti Prajna Keshava Maharaj. So eventually he understood it, he left there and then he was again without any shelter, without any room or without any, he don't know whether he will get the next food or shelter like that. He was staying in Delhi for some more time. In the meantime, he was trying to preach with the Birla Mandir. He started a, you know, correspondence course. So whatever opportunity he gets, he used to try to fulfill, you know, trying to work towards that goal, what his spiritual master has given. So, eventually in 1959, he took sannyas at the age of 63. And then along with that, he was also pushing, he started his own magazine, BTG. So while, and everybody knows this story, is that while trying to distribute the BTG in Delhi, once he has been knocked down by a cow, means, you know, at that early age, means he might be 62, 63 that time. Yes. And another time during the summer, he was almost like fainted. And some one acquaintance knows Prabhupada, he took him his car and brought him back to his residence like that. So much of austerities he was doing. But with only one goal, somehow I have to establish my spiritual master's mission. Yes. You know, that Surendra Kumar Jain, who was a printer, he recollects later on that many times Prabhupada used to walk from his residence to his printing house to check the proof, because he doesn't have the money to go by rickshaw or something. And even many times he doesn't have the breakfast. So by seeing Prabhupada, he used to ask, Swamiji, did you have the breakfast? And then he used to arrange the breakfast. So he never expressed this inconvenience to anyone like that. Only thing is, he's always asking for donations for printing books and distributing it. So finally, in 1965, in August 13, he, by the help of Sumadhi Maharaji, he got the opportunity to go to New York, which was his dreaming. You know, one day I will be able to go there, you know, with the help of that Gopal Agarwal, you know. So in last year's one of the BTG article, Nagaraj Prabhu in his editorial, he writes, you know, Prabhupada took 39 days to travel by ship. Nowadays, people from anywhere in the world can come to Vrindavan and Mayapur maximum 30 hours. Anywhere, you know, a direct flight will take only 16 hours, and another taxi from Delhi will take maximum 3 hours. And coming to airport and all those stuff, maximum you take 30 hours. So Prabhupada here took 35 days to reach New York, and his journey didn't end there. And he is 70 years at that time. And took another, you know, he has to walk, there is no assistance. He has to take his luggage himself personally carry, and the travel agent was helping him. And another 9 hours of bus ride to Pittsburgh. And from there another 1 hour of car drive to Butler. So finally he reached there at the, almost like early morning in 4:30 or something like that. It's an inconvenience. Those who have traveled, they know that, you know, after traveling 16, 15 hours, for us once we come back from Vrindavan or Mayapur, at least 1 or 2 days we take rest, means. And here, at that age also he is not ready, means, like, you know, fighting spirit is there, means, not giving up. And it's not that in New York also he had a smooth going. So he tried to preach, from Butler, he moved to New York, initially with that Mishra and all those things, nothing worked over there. And in the meantime he was writing to his God brothers. So, One God brother, Thirtha Maharaj, you know, finally he politely writes to Prabhupada, said, Gaudiya Math funds cannot be used for this purpose. So then Prabhupada is writing, means, you know, what do you think? I am doing it for my personal business over here, means. It is our Guru Maharaj's mission. And nobody was even trying to help him there. But even despite this, even before leaving India, some of his God brothers gave him an advice. When you go to West, you have to eat with a fork and knife and everything. So one thing, amazing thing we can see from Prabhupada is, despite all these difficulties, he never give up certain types of his traditions. He never, New York, that Nirmalananda Swami or somebody from the RK Mission, he told Prabhupada, Swamiji, if you want to preach here, sustain here, you have to be with them. You know, old style and the traditional style may not work. And you see everyone of us are like that. You have to wear pant, shirt and coat if necessary. Or sometimes you may have to break some of your principles. He says that meat eating and liquor is necessary for this climatic condition over here. But Prabhupada never took, his response was that, no, I came here not as a beggar. All these guys come here as a beggar. But I am come here as I wanted to give something. So even though he didn't have much of the facilities, so he never compromised his, Satsuru Maharaj, right? This daily schedule, punctuality, cooking prasad himself, offering to Krishna, and taking, reading Bhagavadam, writing his translation, morning walk, these things never stopped. And even it was a winter season with a thin dhoti and then an overcoat given by Mishra, he used to go for walk. you know, thinking where I can get a place. And when he spotted one apartment in New York, then he was in correspondence with Sri Padampat Singhania. And he was also ready to give the Lakshmi for that. But due to the emergency conditions, the criticality of the foreign exchange issues, they couldn't do finalize that. And then still, without having any clarity on how the fund will come, Prabhupada was eager to negotiate with that person also. He even started negotiating with that person. But finally, he requested the government of India also to help him in this regard. So even from there also he got a negative reply response. So we can see that till that in even one of the brahmachari from one of the Gaudiya Math Mukti brahmachari says that he also expressed, I would like to come and assist you. Prabhupada told, first you take permission from your spiritual master. But then Mukti, that brahmachari told, if I take permission he will not give me. So Prabhupada told, till no, you have to take permission. As he predicted, Sigidivan got the permission. So then even the last hope was like now gone. So Prabhupada write in a letter. So the controversy is now closed and there is no need to help from anyone else. We are not always successful in our attempts at preaching work, but such failures are certainly not ludicrous. In the absolute field, both success and failure are glorious. Even Lord Nityananda pretend to be a failure at converting Jagai and Madai in the first attempt. Rather, he was personally injured in such an attempt, but that was certainly not ludicrous. The whole thing was transcendental and it was glorious for all the parties concerned. So Prabhupada says, you know, many times people think that, you know, failure is the opposite of success. You know, but there is, you know, some people say that actually most of the great people, you know, for them the success was one step beyond the failure. You know, so when everything goes against us, so we generally give up. But Prabhupada was not a man like that. Means despite all the odds, he was trying to execute. Finally, he got success. So actually there is a saying by Henry Ford. He says that when everything goes against you, you have to remember aeroplanes. It takes off against the wind, not with it. So for an aeroplane to take off, it goes against the winds. What is the current wind? So for that you need also aerodynamic body also. So we can see separately what for us what need. Otherwise, if you are not very serious about this, you know, this wind will blow away. This opposing will blow away us and take out somewhere else. So now it is the 51st year. So finally Prabhupada, after that 1966, in July 18th, this is day, same day, even before completing, means on the 11th month of his reaching, he could establish with the help of some devotees, initial devotees. They were not scholarly people or very, you know, coming from an orthodox Vaishnava family, but normal hippie people. With their help, he could establish this ISKCON. So now we can see that, you know, in one of the lectures, Maharaj was explaining that people were questioning that there are so many problems happening in ISKCON and all those things. He told that when Prabhupada left this world, his senior most disciples were maximum 10 to 11 years old in their bhakti. Still, Prabhupada made them the leaders of the society because they were sincere. They may not be qualified in a, you know, spiritual context or something, you may analyze it, but they were very dedicated and sincere in their effort. And we can see that also in that 10 years they could achieve much more that many of us sitting here may be, you know, more than 10 years in bhakti. We can see that their determination. And so Maharaj was saying that so there may be many faults in that, but you should also understand what is the circumstances they executed those tasks. Some of the earlier disciples of Srila Prabhupada, at the age of, means after having 7 years of experience in the bhakti, they have to accept disciples. That was the need of the hour. They have been told to do, they have done that also. Of course, there were some mistakes happened. So Maharaj says that it is mistakes that will be taken care separately, but it is our duty to, you know, support whatever is needed for the present time. In Purnachandra Maharaj, in one of his articles, he compares ISKCON with the Yamuna river. And ISKCON and Yamuna, both are trying to distribute the mercy of Krishna. But over a period of time, like even 50 years as we have passed in ISKCON, so Yamuna river also, so much of refuse has been put into that. So sometimes, it needs actually an intelligence and a realization coupled with integrity and determination needed to rectify those things. Otherwise you can keep on standbyer and you can comment various things. This is not correct, should have been done like that. And some people eventually who are more critical, they made some distance from ISKCON. But there were some other people, they feel just going through growing pains that existing faults are slowly rectified and the situation is being gradually improving. They are hopeful and they are working towards improving the situation rather than being critical. And there were third category of people, they were saying there is nothing, there is no problem, everything is fine. So even we may be finding some, there may be some issues happening, So but then it is our duty, how much what we can, so there is a famous saying of, I think it is John F. Kennedy, when he got elected as the president. So in his first speech to the Senate, he was telling to his countrymen that, what was that? Don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. So at this juncture, we can also ask, Prabhupada has given us so much. He has sacrificed his life to establish mission. In 11 years, he has written so much books. Even I can say for myself, I come almost 15, 16 years I am in the movement, I couldn't complete even the major books. Maybe Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam to a certain degree you have read. But yes, along with the management of the mission, along with his traveling and everything, he could accomplish so much, 80 volumes of transcendental book for our, so many things he has done. So it's the right time for us to also think, what we can, rather than thinking what we can get from ISKCON or from the organization, we should also think what we can contribute back to the mission. So by this, I think it's already short of time. I conclude my class. Thank you very much for your patience hearing. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.